Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
That promo was pretty good.
I like that one.
Yeah, not real good. Good. Good, not great. Like George Bush's memoirs. Good, not great.
Getting better, though. Getting better. That's the key.
It's not bad. Exactly. It wasn't bad. He's starting to get, he's getting closer. Our boy Yang's got like a notepad out and a pen today. Like he's ready to go.
All business.
He's also excited for the playlist. Playlist yesterday was a little soft, to be honest with you. It's like we were going to some sort of club in the 80s or something like that, man. little soft, Yang. But Red Heat and Rage Radio has begun. Game time decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. Of course, Wednesdays is Lou Day.
And Love Lou.
Yeah, it's actually Gamblu Day. Lou joins us from Arizona. It's also Lou Pellegrino Day.
Hey, that's right. Double Lou. Two Lou parlay.
Yeah.
Is he raging today? Has he got Burger King? What's the status of Pellegrino?
No. Lou's not raging today, actually.
Less stressed.
No, he's got big smile. He's in the pit right now with us, and he wanted to let me know. He goes, I'm really not really in a bad mood or anything. And I said, no, but you just sort of look like kind of stressed out. And he said, yeah, his wife sees the same thing too. And no Burger King for Lou today either.
Whopper Wednesday. No, yeah. Great deal.
Yeah, Burger King seems to be the choice of the pit.
Like, well, it's cheap. Yeah, gotta tell you, out of the fast food stuff, like, trust me, McDonald's game. I went in there.
Only the host.
It was like, $13.
Only the host can eat at Al's. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Al's, like, our boy Yang's a grandfather. He's older. He's been around. Like, he can't do the Burger King thing. But I saw Corey crush his Burger King for breakfast, man.
Yeah, I like the Burger King breakfast, the croissant witch.
Yeah.
Oh man,
that's what he has.
It's nice and greasy. Oh, they're so good. They're so greasy. I know. I got to stay away from Burger King because their burger bag is still under $20. Oh yeah, that's exactly what I get. Me and Corey cut from the same cloth. Tater tots, sausage croissant. Yeah, the King's breakfast is good. I'm telling you, like, and it's crazy. 2 for $5, like, great value.
You
there.
Know what, too? And I went to. I sometimes go to McDonald's for breakfast. Sometimes, but. It's
yeah,
the one
too expensive.
No, it's not the price. It's the crackheads.
It's
on 8th Avenue, and it's over the top. It's probably like the worst McDonald's in America. It's like it's actually bad enough that they actually have like a cop there now. Like they need a cop
security.
There. But I've realized that like Burger King, it seems like the brothers will go to Burger King, and white people go to McDonald's. Let's just call it out for what it is. Like I
not
see
me.
Corey in the morning comes in. He's got Burger King. I got McDonald's. It's like, yeah. See, there's a promo for you right there, Yang. Yeah. That's the observation. White people go to McDonald's. Black people prefer Burger King.
I'm kind of boycotting McDonald's. I went in there for breakfast, and it was $11, $12. I can go to a damn diner and get a breakfast.
$11
or $12? Yeah. It was ridiculous.
McDonald's in Canada is a scam. McDonald's
of course it is. Yeah, it's not here. In the States, it's way cheaper.
All right, here, dude. They give you 82 nuggets for like $2 if you want.
Yeah, that's my type of McDonald's. Yeah, not here.
I remember last time I was in Vegas, I got into it with the girl. I was like, listen, I want the least amount of nuggets, all right?
Wow, you should have came with me. I would have taken
that. There's like 12, sir. I'm like, I don't want 12. So I even told her, listen, I don't like just give me like 6 of them in like a smaller, like, who the hell wants to eat 12 of those things? But.
I do.
I haven't had chicken McNugget in a long time. I've heard did they improve the chicken in them?
Yeah, it's more white meat rather than the sponge. But I will say this: the Burger King nuggets. Then I don't hit that low level. Like I don't do the 10 sponge nuggets for $1.99. I like the BK menu, but their nuggets taste like insulation. They're brutal.
Burger King hit a new level of sleaze like over the last couple of years.
Yeah, like, with the nuggets. Oh yeah,
remember,
yeah.
Like, it's garbage. I used to enjoy their chicken sandwich.
Sandwich.
Like they used to be. It's sort of like a
quality.
They were like competitors. They were going back and forth with McDonald's. Yeah, but
good
like,
fight
some,
for a while.
Somehow, like Burger King decided to give up. You know what I mean? It was like, you know what it is? It's the same damn owners that they own Popeyes now.
Great point.
They own Tim
Hortons.
Great
point, Gabe.
It's a Brazilian fast food conglomerate who basically cut cost in all extent. And they don't care about what the public perception is of the companies that they own. They just don't.
Listen to this one.
They
Gabe.
Own.
You
they basically own every fast food restaurant in the world, besides McDonald's and Pizza Hut, etc. Like, you know, a few companies own the world essentially, but these guys own everything, Cam. Like, you know, you'd be surprised at like the amount of like the other restaurants they own that they don't like really. They don't talk about owning even.
I got firsthand information, and you know, Lisa used to be on the business fast food beat. So she did the big story when Burger King, and great point by you. That's exactly, for people who don't know, this conglomerate bought them up, right? And the same conglomerate for Tim Hortons, the coffee chain. Take a look at the quality of product since that point. She went out with some of the owners there. She had, like, nice shoes on. They spilt something on her shoes, and they wouldn't even, like, she had to hustle them, like, are you going to replace my shoes? Like, they ruined them. It was, like, some kind of, like, steaming beverage or something. Like, just they were swayed, right? And they were done. Like, you couldn't fix them with any cleaner or whatever. She told me she had to shake them down with, like, an invoice and stuff like that. They're real tight. Yeah, it was just, she told me the whole story of these guys, and they like to cut corners. Cheap, cheap, cheap.
All right, the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. When is Lou's going to join us?
Yeah.
Gamblu, we'll talk some NFL football, big Thursday nighter. Cam's going to join us on a morning show. He's going to make his morning after show.
Sure.
Here,
do tomorrow. You want me to call in like I do here, like kind of the same thing, or on the phone? It would be better in quality if I called in, correct?
Yeah.
Somebody answers, yeah, okay. I'm
well,
just, yep,
it would
send
be,
it in the email.
It would be best if you're on Skype, but, you know, we know that you're somewhat Skype challenged.
A little bit, yeah, but I'll do it. I'll do the quality. I won't do the cell phone. I'll do it this way. If it sounds better, we'll do it. I'll work on the video for next for Friday. Send me the link.
Your Skype challenge, like our boy Yang, is promo challenged.
Well, I only do what Cardano tells me. He's like, dude, you look like your headset was slipping down your face with the sweat. Like, hey, man, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to.
No, but that was just one day. I think we could set you up, basically. I don't think it's
this way. They're $400. I'm not buying. Like, I'm not. There's not enough is enough. Yeah, anyway, I'm not buying new headphones, so I can deal with these ones. I'm not dropping $400. I got to put my foot down.
Your problem
is. I got two soundboards.
Your head's too big.
Yeah, it's a little bit big. Yeah,
it's Bruce Boatsy size pumpkin.
It's a greasy head too, because you know I like to sweat. I got the place like a really low temperature, and I'm just pelting it out. Didn't even drink, Gabe. I went to bed early last night. Not even one or two beers. Like I was a real good guy last night, but I'm still sweating none the same. It's just I don't get it. Just heavy perspiration.
Yeah, you know what? It's freezing in the pit here right now.
It snowed. It snowed yesterday. We actually got some flurries. So
it's hockey weather now.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. I walked outside and I'm looking at the cars. I'm like, wow, they're dusted with snow. It was not too much though. It was just a little drizzle, but not bad. Yeah, it's getting real now. It's getting colder.
So we'll break down. We'll get into the NFL board today. We'll talk a little NFL Survivor as well. Dwayne Casey returns to Toronto. Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
The Toronto Raptors this evening. And, you know, Casey's a great guy, and I think a lot of guys on the team liked him, but I think a couple of guys on the team probably weren't shedding any tears when he was gone. It's going to be like that in any time. You know, the best is was Guy Carboneau's line. Remember Guy Carboneau, the hockey player?
Yeah.
And he became coach of the Montreal Canadiens. And he had a great line about coaching. And he said about the room, because basically there was like, you know, in Montreal there were rumors that Carboneau was like old school. He was a little hard on the team sometimes. And he would say things to them that they players like would get offended by. So he basically, they said, so what do you say that there's like cliques in the room that are turning on you? And he said, you know, I played hockey for a long time. I've been in a lot of rooms. And he said every room, He goes, every room's the same. He goes, 33% of the people like the coach, 33% of the people hate the coach. And he said, your job as the coach is to keep the other 33% away from the 33% that don't like you.
Exactly. He's that's well saying, said by Geek.
Yeah, he's like, listen, not everyone on the team's going to like the coach. You know what I mean? He's like, he goes, the deal is just to have not everyone, like, sort of turn on you and hate you. You know, that's that. So with Dwayne Casey, I don't think they turned on him, but without a doubt, there's some friction. I think with Kyle Lowry, there is. I expect Kyle Lowry to go hard tonight. It's kind of a bad spot for Casey coming back to Toronto tonight just because the Raptors got tattooed on their home court.
Exactly. That's
the Raptors are the type
of team. They're angry.
Yeah, they bounced back after losses, the Raptors. They weren't impressed with the way they lost. They were embarrassed the way they – like, they take pride in regular season games, Toronto does. So I kind of think – I'm not generally the type of guy to want to lay the points, but it's not like the Raptors are going to take it easy on Dwayne Casey and the Pistons tonight. And Pistons are kind of struggling. Blake Griffin's struggling. You only really got to worry about Andre Drummond right now. I think the Raptors probably cover the big number tonight, Cam. I think the game goes over the number, too.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. The last time I remember the Raptors were playing the Pistons, and I went with my buddy, and they were like a 14-point favorite, and they ended up like they were up like 32 at the break. They were up like almost 40, Gabe. It was like one of the biggest shit games. Like, they murdered these guys, like, from the buzzer. Like, they were toying with them. They were like, I'll tell you, Dwayne Casey, yeah, you said it, nice guy, but after the Raptors coming off a loss, they're going to – and a statement, a couple guys on the team are going to bury them. Like, nice guy act and all the professionals.
Kyle Lowry, big time. Like, if you look, like, DeMar DeRozan probably isn't Dwayne Casey's biggest fan after what happened in the playoffs last year.
No.
So, but DeMar's not there. Kyle Lowry, there's no secret. Kyle Lowry and Dwayne Casey clashed over the years. Like, when there were issues and Kyle would get that surly look on his face for a couple of weeks, it was basically him and Casey. And Kyle knowing, I've got to suck this up. I can't, you know what I mean? What can I do about this? He's the coach. Jonas Valanciunas, probably at the top of the list. Now, I don't know if Jonas Valanciunas personally, I don't think they personally dislike Casey, but Jonas was on the bench all the time, bro.
Yeah, he screwed with his playing time.
Yeah, like,
that's
he
personal.
Never played in the fourth quarter of playoff games. Like, Casey didn't really like Jonas that much. Like, he didn't trust him on the court that much. So, you know, Jonas is going to want to stick it to Casey tonight. Kyle Lowry will say all the right things about how he loves Casey, but watch. Lowry, I bet you, really brings his A game this evening. Kawhi Leonard's just sort of a cyborg machine that's going to be consistent every night. I think the Raptors show up tonight. That's one of the games. Jimmy Butler, makes his debut tonight for the Philadelphia 76ers. In Orlando, they're laying 6, and this is another one where normally I wouldn't want to be laying 6 points on the road, but they probably beat these guys down tonight.
Yeah, I don't really trust Orlando. Philadelphia, they want to make a good impression there, Gabe. It's tough, though. I don't like laying road points like that, too. I'm going to be selective. It worked last night for us, and I'm looking at your account, and it's slowly getting up to almost another digit. Okay, let's play the game. What do you think? Do you think you got?
I'm going to say we're at 9... 991.
Very close. You're good at the Price is Right. You should go down there with your boy Clam Chowder and take home 2 showcases. 993.76.
Wow. Well, pretty good guesstimation, huh?
You're off by $1 the other day, now a couple bucks today. Wow, you're really getting it together. And that's what happens when you bet enough. You already have numbers in your head. You know what you won and lost. Kind of do the math.
Yeah,
a little
I sort
bit
of
there.
Have
juicier.
Ballpark figures. Give or take, but you notice we're systematically sort of chipping away.
I had a big night.
The key is
big night last night.
The key is for me not to go to a game and bet and lose $500 on the first half again.
Yes,
this week.
Yes. And that's the thing. Me and you, like, we're good. Like, the thing is, look at the winners we're given. But the problem is, we're both emotional people. Like, you know what I mean? You're going to a game, you want action. Some days I'm like, yeah, let it roll. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we do things like the money management,
it's like
sometimes
an $800
is not the
swing
best.
That game.
Yeah, oh, I know. Like, think about it. You have like $1,700 in there. So, and over time, you go, I can really use that $800.
Even
like,
Cam brought it up to me on Monday or something because I said, what's the account? And even Cam goes, bro, you went pretty hard on that Michigan game.
Yeah, he sure did.
I loaded up, too, because I had the game, the half. I was going to go into the Notre Dame game this week, but against Syracuse. We're going to go with Joe Lisi, but It's 100. It's like $200 to get in. The cheapest ticket's like $195 bucks right now.
You working on Saturday doing that show too, right?
I dropped $200. I dropped $200 on the ticket going to the game. You know, it's at 2 p.m. So you know me. It's probably another $100, $150 before they cut me off at Yankee Stadium. So, and then after, it's 5:30, 6 o'clock at night, and I'm pissed drunk, and I'm in the Bronx outside of Yankee Stadium, which you know that's going to end well. Like, I'll probably be, all right, let's go out to a local dive bar here in the Bronx. I'm going to end up getting shanked outside a bodega.
Well, I know you too when you party. It's one of those things. Like, you don't really have an off switch. It goes on for a while. I'd rather you actually, as a friend, tell you just to relax, you know, stay around the area and just enjoy the games. There's no need to drop that money too. Build up the account, save it for a time where you really want to go, you know?
You know, I'm doing a lot of shows and stuff, and Saturdays,
life's expensive.
I'm adding extra stress to myself.
Yes.
Like
yes,
going to these games or stressing out at the sports book and stuff. See, I was thinking this Saturday, after we finish the College Football Today show, I'll go home and watch the Notre Dame game. And
correct.
I won't get wasted at Yankee Stadium on a Saturday afternoon.
Sounds good. No, I'm working. I'm pulling a Morenci 7 days a week.
I'm not sure, Corey.
Filling in for Galena.
On Sunday?
Saturday.
Real on Saturday?
Yeah, no, Saturday and Sunday.
Really?
I'm working full week. Yep,
oh,
Saturday, Sunday, buddy.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I think Corey Parson might be out Sunday, actually. So I'm going to have to be at my full strength. Like, this past Sunday,
yeah,
I was not at my full strength on the show after
it sucks.
After
I know that feeling.
After going to the Rutgers game.
I hate that feeling. Like, no, and that's the thing. Like, I did it up on a Saturday, too, and I remember Galena was gone and stuff. And I'm like, oh, my God, 4 hours. I'm, like, sweating, but it wasn't, like, a good sweat. It was, like, tired booze sweat. I'm like, I'm not doing this again. I don't like working hungover. It blows.
No, it's rough. It's rough. Like, I thought I was going to throw up a couple of times last week.
Oh, yeah. Hate that. Ooh, that feels
like I was so hurt.
Your stomach's on. I know. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. I got like the Tasmanian devil in my stomach. I'm like, please stop. Please stop. Hey, Bavona, when are you coming back? Talk, buddy. I'm like, oh, my God. What games are we doing? And the worst thing's at 4 o'clock game, there's three games. You guys got a nice slate in the morning? Like,
no, it's tougher.
We got, like, dog shit games.
Yeah,
like,
but you,
like,
get,
oh my God.
You get the recap, but
that's the good news. That's the good news.
But,
you are correct.
You know, you can only, it's hard to recap games for 4 hours.
You got it right, brother.
All right, we'll get into this Kevin Durant, Draymond Green stuff as the drama continues. I didn't think, I thought this was just sort of teammates being in, you know, a little on-court issue, but no, there's real issues.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Time decisions. Oh, here's our CCR. It's back.
Yeah, there it is. It ain't me. It's Yang.
I'm a grandpa. Spanish Harlem.
Harlem.
Yeah. I spin the dials for Cam and Gabe. I like the CCR. I just, we tweeted out there. Let me retweet this so people that are tuning in right now, since this is radio. With Mike Cardano tweeted this out earlier. I retweeted it, but it's a high school game. I don't know what state it's in, actually.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. Oh, yeah, this is crazy, man. This guy, oh, yeah, this is the best.
So the kid,
unbelievable.
Yeah, kid takes the three-point shot, and Buddy comes up and basically just clothesline elbows him. It's like UFC-type stuff. Drops the kid. Yet, I believe, Cam, like, I believe now they're looking into this for a criminal assault.
Oh, it's definitely a foul.
I'm a big believer in, you know, like in hockey. Remember when Dino Cicerelli hit someone over the head with a stick, and the Toronto police like were waiting for him after.
Yes.
And it was like, all right, listen. And even the NHL said, listen, we police our own here. We police our own on this. Yet you can't just state, listen, man, it was an intense game. It was a hard foul. You know, that's not a hard foul. Like, he basically did. He premeditated it, too. You could see the kid. He waited till the kid shot.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what? I'm gonna take this kid out. And so Fitchburg State. So what? It's Division III, actually. My bad. It wasn't high school. Division III basketball player is now suspended indefinitely and banned from campus after hitting her. He can't even go to class. Hitting an opposing player with a vicious elbow. Late in the loss to Nichols College, Fitchburg State's Kevin Platt approached Nate Tanagula, hit him in the face with a right elbow after he hit a three-point shot. All right.
Yeah, it's just that's crazy. It's disgusting, man. That's like, it's nuts. That guy should be that's assault charges, definitely. It was premeditated. He walks up there, straight up wrestling move. Like, when I saw it, I was in shock, Gabe. I'm like, that's brutal. Like, there's no excuse for that. He should be charged. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
You know what the reason why he did this was? He was frustrated because the guy that he hit shut him down on defense.
Really? Well, that's
he
that's
became
a good
frustrated.
Yeah, it's great. I'm frustrated, so I'm going to clothesline the guy. Great. What a fucking joke. That's ridiculous. Well, yeah. So when you have a bad game in hockey, do you go as a goaltender and snap, put a stick over somebody's head? Hey, he scored a hat trick on me. I think I'm just going to decapitate him.
Listen,
you know,
come on, man. He was actually just recently the conference player of the week a couple of weeks ago, but they revoked it. And his name has been taken off the team's website. So the kid's going to get kicked off the team.
As well he should, man. Like,
we'll see if he
like that's one of the worst
arrested.
Things I've ever seen.
Should he get arrested? Do you think he should get arrested for that?
It's close. Arrested's getting kind of – it's borderline. It's premeditated. Like, if you did that to somebody on the street, you'd be arrested.
Well, listen,
if you did that to somebody in a bar, you'd be arrested.
I'm not
right?
– I like
– yeah.
Dude, man, Andres in Sacramento says, good no call on the play. You know what? Yeah. I'm just realizing this. There's no foul.
Look at the referee. I know. Take a look at the ref.
And another ref is sort of celebrating. Listen,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't want to bring race into this, but I don't know. You got two black referees. A black kid just, like, kills this white guy. The referees, like, stand there, do nothing about it. Like, how is there not a foul here?
Foul, yeah, foul, ejection, yeah, anything. Like, yeah, it's insane, man. I've never seen anything like that before. When we've seen, like, the Pistons, the Nasty Boys, we've seen bad, like,
I will
dirty
tell
basketball.
You, though,
nothing like that.
I will tell you, though, this kid is a big, this kid's a big bitch. He ran, sucker elbowed this kid, and the white kid got up right after. You know what I mean? Like,
sucker someone
like that, you should knock someone out cold. You know what I mean? Like,
You should.
Yeah, that's some garbage stuff. I like the way the kid even looked at the ref right before he did it, just to make sure. He did a little peek at the ref.
That's great.
And there's another ref that just goes, the three-point shot is good. Like, man. Yeah, that's some crazy stuff. All right, I'm going to ask people on Twitter, should there be criminal charges on this? And like I said, I'm not a snitch. I'm not a let's call the cops type of guy, but... You know, I think this was assault.
Yes, of course it is. Of course it's assault, because if it happens any other place but a basketball court, and that's the thing. That's when you look at sports, Gabe, look at the hockey stuff too. Bertuzzi, you talked about it, Dino Cicerelli, all these guys. Like, if that's not in an arena of sport and you do that like in a park to somebody.
This is worse than Bertuzzi.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The Tom Bertuzzi
sure
thing was just a mistake. The Tom Bertuzzi thing. Dude, he pulled the guy down. Yeah, he punched him and he pulled him down. The odds of that guy, of Moore, and I feel for the guy, but the odds of somebody breaking their neck because of that were one in a million. You know what I mean? It really was one of those just, it happened, and Bertuzzi, you were the dude that did it. It was one of these weird deals. Now, I don't know. Bertuzzi, I never thought of Bertuzzi as being the nicest guy in the world, right? So why this happened to him and, you know, why he was the guy that ended up there. But it was kind of a, you know, it was overblown. It was just the way he landed on top of him and stuff. And even the McSorley stuff wasn't that bad. It looked worse than it was. This is different. I mean, it's different when you're on a hockey rink and you tap someone over the head with a stick when they're wearing a helmet to get them to fight. Or you grab them from the back of the jersey and pull them down. You think Todd Bertuzzi wanted to break his vertebrae? You know what I mean? You think he wanted to do that?
Of course he did. No, no.
He was
haunted
like,
for his
like,
whole
bro.
Life.
Yeah, he was
I saw
like,
a documentary
bro.
On it.
He was like, you got to fight. And the thing is, I don't want to blame the victim, but Moore should have dropped the freaking gloves. You know what I mean? Like, he refused to fight, and it was basically like they were telling him, you need to. Like, this is, it's too late. Like, there's a hockey code. You need to fight somebody. And he just refused to do it. So finally Bertuzzi just grabbed him, and the guy plummets to the ice and ends up killing himself nearly.
Yeah, that's crazy. No, I saw interviews with Bertuzzi afterwards, like his state of depression. I know he's done some cheap stuff before, but he didn't mean to do it. It's affected him his whole life. It's almost ruined him as a human being. Like, you watch him, and he's never been the same guy. If you did that to somebody, Morenci, you'd never be the same. You'd hold guilt from morning to night. It's you almost feel bad for you, right? You don't want to blame the, you know, it's not the victim, but Bertuzzi didn't mean, obviously, he didn't mean to do that.
Where I'm going with this is, and I don't want to relive the Bertuzzi stuff, make it seem like he's, you know, he's some sort of angel or anything like that, but where I'm going with this is normally I don't state that, you know, and all this kid, you know, they should be charged with this, but that's not like a basketball play. And even me, like I played in that NBA Hoop It Up stuff, and I threw elbows, and someone broke my nose. I got punched in the face, and even that wasn't like this.
You like, never clotheslined a guy.
No, I didn't clothesline. No, whatever.
It's like, a wrestling.
I slapped for the ball. I slapped for the ball, and I slapped the guy in the face. Right? He got pissed off. That's okay. It's aggressive street ball. He said, I'm going to get you, and he didn't sucker punch me. He said, I'm going to get you, and he punched me right in the face, and he broke my nose. And then I gargled my own blood, spit it out his feet, and said, let's ball. That's when Keith Van Horn came over and stopped the game.
You guys are a disgrace.
Yeah. He said, in all the NBA Hoop It Ups in America, he goes, you guys have taken it. I've never seen anything like this. You're against everything. And without missing a beat, one of the guys on my team tells him, you've been a real bust in the NBA. And then he goes, you were pretty good at Utah, but, man, in the NBA – Van Horn just turned around and walked away.
That's the best. You suck, Keith. Yeah. You guys are a disgrace to what this 3-on-3 tournament stands
we
for.
We got scolded by Keith Van Horn. Like, he was the honorary NBA guy at the tournament. And Keith Van Horn scolded us for like being against everything that the NBA Hoop It Up stands for.
The guy on your team was right. He was a first round draft pick.
Dude, you know what a guy on our team did too earlier in the day in that tournament? Anyway. He didn't like a call. He didn't like the call by the ref, so he took the basketball and he punted it like a football. Yeah, but there's like 20 other games going on. So the ball bounced through like everyone's game. Like, you know what I mean? It was like a big dick thing to do. Like it stopped all these games and stuff. Like, oh, you name it, dude. Like, we were a menace. We were a menace. Like, I played in the NBA Hoop It Up 3 years in a row, and finally I had to stop because, number one, I was going to get killed by the other team soon. And it was bringing out the worst in us. It really was. So I can sympathize. We'll get to the Golden State Warriors stuff, too. I want to get into this, but should this kid be charged with assault? As I stated, I played some crazy-ass street stuff. I told the story in which I even tripped like a 15-year-old kid into the boards at a charity roller hockey event once. So, you know, I'm no angel either. But like I stated, I didn't sucker punch someone or elbow them like this. I think the kid should be I think it's assault, personally.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. It's assault. I don't know if that jail time's a little bit extreme, but there's got to be something.
No, not jail. You know what?
Community service.
Yeah, not like violent offender assault, but
No.
Like bar fight assault. Like, hey, listen.
Yes.
You
know what I mean?
You can't be punching people on. But if this kid gets, you can't let the kid get away with it. You know, or, because listen, in my world, the other kid should get to whatever, exact his revenge. But
yes.
That's not the world that we live in. I mean, so we don't, you know, if we want to live in a world with laws, then,
the best.
You know.
What are you going to do, tie him up and let the kid chuck basketballs at his head? Like, no, that's the, we don't live in that world.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, what's a kid supposed to do? All right, so I'm asking you guys on Twitter right now, should this kid be charged with assault? Hell yes.
Hell yes.
Let him play.
Let him play. That's a good answer. Let him play.
Oh, but the thing is, when I include the GIF in with the poll question, it becomes one, and it doesn't. People can't see it as easily. It's actually kind of frustrating, to be honest. But people, and I was going to say people will figure it out, but they really won't.
No,
they really won't.
Yeah,
well, listen, no, the listeners of this show are very intelligent, but people on Twitter are kind of dumb. JN Report says, am I missing something? Why a Buffalo plus the points today? We're going to get into that. We like the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, Jesse says, what a great reference. Dino Cicerelli.
Oh, yeah, great. Jesse's on fire. Yeah, right, I know.
Jesse's up to great work. He's put my face in Dino Cicerelli's body.
Oh, amazing. I know.
He's the best at this.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's so good. Like, I don't even know what to do. Like, honestly, it changes my mood. Like, I could be, like, sad about something. And I look at you as Dino Cicerelli. You made me Barry Horowitz. Like, the guy's the best, man.
Look at the look
Jesse's
on my face.
Best.
I look like I'm saying,
oh, yeah.
Hey, get me the puck. I'm open.
Yeah, you look kind of thirsty, and you're thirsty for the puck. Yeah, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, just come on. I'm open. Great stick, too. The old Canadians, man, legendary. The Canadian Tire special. Great stuff. This guy's the best. This guy's the best.
You want the Canadian stick,
so
or is that the Canadian Tire special?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. Remember the Canadian? Yeah. Those were back in the day. That was the stick, right? The Canadian, and they had the stick that I used was the Sherwood Feather Light.
Wasn't there a Christian stick?
Oh yeah, Christians are good. Yeah, Pat. No, used a Christian.
They were American.
Pat LaFontaine.
Yeah, they were American.
Yeah,
all the American.
Yeah. And it's actually funny because the on the American team, the Christian brothers use Christian sticks. Remember those guys who played for Team USA, yeah, right?
They were Christian. God approved Jesus would.
Trust me, man. They had a lot of good goals with Christians.
Because when I saw his stick, I was like, is that a Christian? But no, it's a Canadian. Did you used
yeah,
to do,
then
remember
they had
we
a...
talked about it, a Canadian Tire? Used to do the old take the price tag off the...
great move. You're like me in the grocery store. You did it with skates.
I did it with skates and sticks, I'll admit it. They caught on. I did it twice. I got CCM Super Tax for the price of, like, microns. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
Like, in the old days, guys, the CCM Super Tax were, like, the elite skates. And so, basically, and this is, like, in pre-computer days and everything. You know, it's like the old days. So basically, you go into the sports section of the store, and you just take out you put the expensive skates in the cheap skates box. You take it to the cash, and you pick out like a chick, or you pick out a dude that you don't think knows about like hockey equipment. Except now everything's barcoded and stuff like that, right? Not that
for
I
sure.
Would
they used to do the
like
same
now, of course.
No, Canadian Tire does it. They did the same thing, Gabe, with golf balls. They put the good ones, like they used to have the good ones, like the Titleist Bellatas, like $3-4 a ball.
Oh, you used to put the good balls in there with the bad box?
Like, they didn't even check the box. Like, no, I got my buddies used to do. They're the ones who told me about it. My buddy, because he used to golf all the time, he's like, I'm getting two. I'm like, yeah, what a deal. You're right. Back in the day, there was not really anything you could do. Like, you were in those stores, but yeah, things are a little different now.
Yeah.
Too much scanning going on.
Well, things have changed. I mean. When I was a teenager, I used to just go into the local corner store with a guitar case, go into the beer freezer, fill it up, and walk out.
Like, I did the other week, though.
If you did that now, you'd get shot. Like, you know what I mean? It would be like, and it would be justified. They'd be like, wow, You know, it was like that Michael Brown kid that goes, wow, he stole a Snickers bar. You know what I mean? It's like you do anything now. The only thing, the only modern, we won't say the kid's name, but we were working in Toronto and sort of like, you know, we did like Yang's job. So this kid, he was like a technician, operator, producer. And he got arrested in the middle of the day once during work.
We're like,
what the hell happened to you yesterday, basically? Like, what happened? He went, you know, he basically disappeared at lunch. And the next day, it was like, what the hell happened to you? And he's like, he actually admitted. He goes, I got arrested. And we're like, for what? He goes, I stole a chocolate bar. And we're like, they arrested you. He's like, yeah, they detained me and everything. And, you know, they gave me a ticket. And I said to him, I said, why the F would you steal a chocolate bar from a grocery store?
Exactly.
And he goes,
exactly.
He goes, that's what the cop asked me. Like, the cop showed up.
Steal something good.
They berated him. Like, they're like, what are you? And he even had money on him. And they were, they just berated him for being an idiot and stuff. They gave him like a $250 fine.
Yeah, that is an idiot move. That's a stooge move. Stealing like a 50-cent item? Like, come on, man. Get your head a shake.
Yeah.
Gotta at least be in double digits.
Listen, I did this. I removed the price of hockey skates. This was in like 1984 or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. You have switched the price on a piece of meat probably in the last couple of months, haven't you?
And the last couple of days, Gabe.
Last couple of days? Got some
I'll tell you the story on the other side. It's a great move. I'll give everyone a tip in the grocery store. You're not really doing any harm either. I'll tell you how it's done. It's not hard.
Just to the stockholders. Screw that.
Yeah.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Game time decisions. I was just telling some of the guys in the pit about Cam's exploits at the grocery store.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's I'm better. Like, I don't do the things that are totally, like, if there's a product that's, like, really, really fresh, I'm not that type of guy, but I don't mind. Because I know
guys
who work
at grocery
stores. Well, I know you don't
approve of paying for a dipping sauce with pizza, right?
No, I don't. I have no problem with taking sauce. Like, when I go to the supermarket, like, I'll take an extra Caesar sauce. Like, have you had one of those Rene's sauces? They don't even, like, sprinkle one thing of lettuce. Like, are you kidding me? You're charging me $10 for the Caesar salad. I can't get two dressings? Come on. That's out of principle. And another thing is they got a $5 sticker on, right, Marenzi? So they got a sticker on the ham. So I went to the store the other day with the ham. And I usually go, before I do this, I check out the cashiers, make sure, like, they're either young and don't care about their job or old and, like, kind of senile. Nobody in the middle. They already had a $5 sticker. Yeah, they had a $5 sticker on it, right? So there was another ham that had another $5. I just take off the sticker, politely put it on the other hand, and I got $10 off the ham. So instead of $14.99, it was $4.99. And you know what the funny thing is? The butcher guy, I already know. He says they throw out the meat. Like, it was within, like, 24 hours, but I just freeze it. And then I got ham steak for, like, a month. So, you know what? I'm not going to feel, like, I don't go into stores and steal. I just, when things are going to expire, I do my thing. That's all. But I get technically it's the same, I guess. But, yeah, I hear your boys in the back. Are you telling me about Chinese buffets? Yeah, no, I have done that before. I haven't done it recently. But I also don't like what places do now. They're scamming the people. So you go to a wing night, and they're like, you must eat the stuff in the restaurant. Well, I'm paying $19.99 for all I can eat. Like, I've taken a Ziploc before and filled it up and put it in my parka and went to the car.
You know, though, there's seems to be a new thing right now. I don't know where I was. I travel so much, man, that, you know, it's hard to keep up. But I noticed a place recently. It was a buffet place. I think it was in Vegas, actually. I think it was last when we were in Vegas at that IFBC stuff.
Yeah, lots of buffets.
Yeah, I think the Golden Nugget, actually, buffet had
good
the
buffet.
Option. You
good
can
buffet.
Fill your plate up for $20, basically. They have like to-go cartons, like to-go containers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice,
like you, they give you the container. You get to walk around the buffet.
See, that's
stuff
fair.
Up the container to the brim as much as you want. No weight that's or anything. You stuff that container up and, you know, you go back to your room or you take your food on your go. That's pretty cool. That's a good idea.
That's the thing. That's fair. So at another place, why can't you have, like, if I'm paying especially like $20 plus for the buffet, like, I like the takeout container idea. It's a very, see, that's fair. You don't have to take Ziplocs if they're giving you that option.
I still have the best idea ever, though, don't I, with the vending machines on buses.
Oh, God, I'm telling you, I would invest it
in
a heartbeat.
I got to do those that. I'm just going to do my own company. Let's not even talk about the idea anymore.
Yeah, okay, yeah, no, don't talk. Put it
you
away,
got vending machines
it.
Everywhere. How the hell do you not have this?
Know what you got to do too? I'm just going to give you one quick tip, and we're not going to go on to this. And you're, you know, go to GoDaddy.com or one of those domain places. Get a name, patent it, and like your idea, so you have it, so nobody's going to screw you. Then go forward with that idea, because I think it's can't miss. These bus trips are like, some of them are 10, 12 hours, man. Are you nuts? Come on.
Yeah,
it's a great idea.
Free money. Free. It's
It's not free money. You got to put the investment in, but you'll make money. I guarantee you that. It's a great investment.
All right, so remember we had some fun with the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, the minor league baseball team.
Yeah, that's right.
So I don't know if you noticed that there was a new team that was named yesterday, San Diego's affiliate in Amarillo, Texas. They're now called the Sod Poodles. Yeah. They're now called the Sod Poodles, except I got to tell you, I'm down. I'm down. Like, he's a cool-looking poodle, and he's just badass. Like, look at him. Look at him here leaning on the A. I don't know what a sod poodle is, dude. Like, he's like a, we'll tell you what a sod poodle is.
Yeah, he looks more like kind of an angry gopher.
I like him.
Yeah, I like him, too. I like him, too. He's like a hedgehog with a piece of wheat in his mouth. He's ready to fight
somebody. I like what he likes. I like he's angry look, too.
Yeah, he looks kind of like a camel, too. Take a look at the side on the head, like it's a camel with a piece of wheat in its mouth.
Yeah, these aren't your normal poodles. This ain't grandma's poodle. This ain't like Yang and grandma poodle. Walking the dog, the poodle, listening to Lawrence Welk.
Oh, yeah, great kick on Lawrence Welk yesterday, too. It's amazing. Lawrence Welk.
So, you know, we all know, so we got some great names. It's a pretty good one here, but... The Jumbo Shrimp, still pretty good, but here is Emily Walden on Twitter. She is the Detroit Tigers minor league writer for The Athletic, so she follows minor league baseball, and she goes, here's the list of coolest baseball names in the minor leagues right now. So the Sod Poodles is on the list. The Trash Pandas. I like this one. The Fire Frogs.
Yeah, Fire Frogs is good.
Yard Goats. Yard Goats, that's pretty cool.
Hey, Yard Goats. I like that.
Baby
too.
Cakes.
Yeah, Baby Cakes, nice.
Surprised like the Me Too movement isn't protesting outside the stadium.
Yeah, hey, Baby
Cakes. It's an offensive name, Baby Cake. You can't say that. Hey, Baby Cake. The Rumble Ponies. The Cross Cutters. The Blue Rocks. The Iron Pigs. Iron Pigs, pretty good. You know what? They're one of my favorite ones, and they were actually an affiliate of the Expos. This is why I know them, is the Cape Fear Crocs.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Cape Fear Crocs.
Yeah, it's like Cape Fear, like the movie. So it's like the town Cape Fear. Yeah, their name of the team is the Crocs, the Cape Fear Crocs. I'd like to know, who are the Yard Goats, though?
I don't know. This Sod Poodle, I was right. It's not dogs. It's the a Sod Poodle's like those... like gophers and like on the prairie and stuff.
Oh, really?
Like that.
Huh?
They pop up. Yeah, they pop up in and out of holes.
Oh, they're like angry, pissed off. Like,
yeah, they're just little feeders. They're kind of like little guys. They're not like huge like badgers or whatever. But they kind of like they have the holes. Like they're prairie. They're kind of like prairie dogs, right? But they're like gophers too. They come up in holes and like dry places and stuff like that. Yeah.
The Hartford Yard Goats.
Yard Goats.
They are the Colorado Rockies affiliate. They play in Hartford, Connecticut.
Yard Goats.
What's some of the other ones I want to... Who are the Fire Frogs?
Hartford Yard Goats. Yeah, great stuff. The ballpark, Dunkin' Donuts Park.
Nice.
Dunkin' Donuts Park.
Well, they got great names here.
Dude, there's Dunkin' Donuts everywhere in New York. So every two blocks there's a Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, I know. There's one right by Penn Station there.
I thought Dunkin' Donuts was just a Boston thing? Yeah, I thought Dunkin' Donuts was pretty much done. They weren't as popular as before. But Dunkin's demise has been underestimated, like overestimated. They're still around.
Of course they are. What about the Binghamton Rumble Ponies? Nice name there.
That's pretty good right there.
New Britain Rock Cats.
All right, Baby Cakes Baseball. Like, who's Baby Cakes Baseball? The Baby Cakes. So, of course, New Orleans.
Like crab cakes.
They're the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins.
Too bad for them.
Surprised the Marlins even have a AAA affiliate.
Oh, what a logo, too. It's like... It's like a shrimp, but it's like a guy's head with a crown on it. New Orleans Baby Cakes. Great logo.
All right. Fire Frogs.
Oh, I got even a better one. Take a look at this one, Marenzi. Biloxi Shuckers. It's an oyster with eyes in it.
Man, there's some great. There's some great stuff.
The Montgomery Biscuits.
Right, so here it is. The Montgomery Biscuits? Really? The Biscuits?
Yeah. The Biscuits, what a name.
The Florida Fire Frogs are a minor league baseball team that plays a member of the Florida State League. They're the Class A affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Like, what's a Fire Frog? I imagine pretty badass in real life.
I'm telling you, you got to look at Montgomery Biscuits. It's kind of like a cartoon character. It's a biscuit, and instead of a tongue, it's a brick of butter. It's the best.
What?
Go check out Montgomery Biscuits. It's a fighting biscuit.
Montgomery.
He's a biscuit. He's got biscuits. Googly eyes and a butter.
Here is Montgomery Biscuits mascot. What the?
It's a biscuit with butter for a tongue. It's amazing. That is the best logo ever, man. Oh, that's awesome. And the hats are great.
The name of the team is the Biscuits.
Yeah, the Biscuits. Awesome.
You know what? I've actually been there, and I had biscuits in Alabama. They're damn good.
Yeah, of course they are.
You know what his nickname is? Big Mo.
Big Mo's Biscuits.
Yeah, Big Mo is an orange beast that loves biscuits, and the other mascot is Monty, a buttermilk biscuit.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the one I'm looking at. Monty, he's a biscuit. I just love the brick of butter for his tongue and his googly eyes. Honestly, I got to get a T-shirt of this. It's so good.
Yeah,
he's
here
like
he is.
Gritty, but better.
I like
better.
His nickname is he's the most edible mascot in baseball.
You said, like, these small teams really get it. Like, I would love a professional team to take a chance. Like, the names are very safe. We got Tigers and Cougars and stuff. Like, come on, people. Like, come on. Like, be like Montgomery. Get some biscuits.
I like what she said. We're the first team in the country to sell biscuits at a baseball stadium, and we still do. We've sold, like, over 300,000 biscuits in, like, 10 years. And it's not just a regular old biscuit with butter. In Alabama, biscuits are a delivery mechanism for all sorts of goodness. They put ham on the biscuit, they put chicken on the biscuit, and they have honey on the biscuit.
Yeah, it's awesome.
The rest of the country thinks we're just eating biscuits. No, that sounds pretty good. A honey salt biscuit with some fried chicken on it.
Oh, love it.
They know how to eat in the South.
My buddy lived in Georgia, Gabe, and I went for biscuits down there. And this was only like, I've been professional biscuits, but we went to like a Bojangles chicken and biscuits. It was like crack. I was hooked. Every morning I had to go there. Like the biscuits in the South are just different. They're just better, fresher, fluffier, tastier. Just a winner.
Now, if I had a lot of money and a lot of time and, like, a credit card online, I would just order, like, all these minor league teams, like, gear and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, some of these things are too good. Like, I'm a big fan of this little Fire Frog logo, too. He said minor league baseball, it really is the one thing they do well, isn't it? The names and their logos.
Oh, it's the best. Like, it's the, yeah.
Like, it's cool. It's cool of baseball not to tell them you can't do that either.
Yeah, as well they should. They should be allowed to do whatever the hell they want. They're a minor league team. You know how hard it is to make money?
Nah, if you were in the NHL, like you think the Toronto Maple Leafs can allow, to call the team the Timbits? You know what I mean? No, they probably would for money, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, of course. That's the next step. Yeah, I like that Fire Frog. He's cool. Very nice.
The Trash Pandas. So what city are the Trash Pandas in?
Trash Pandas.
Trash Pandas Baseball.
Pandas. Trash Pandas. Alabama.
Alabama. The Trash.
Huntsville. Yep.
Wow. They're selling season tickets now, just one day ago. Wow. Rocket City Trash Pandas merchandise store now available. See, they're smart, these teams. They understand that hipsters like us like their names and their logos and stuff, and these teams can sell some. All right, so here it is, a Trash Panda. Wow, I never knew this. This is pretty cool, actually. A Trash Panda in Alabama is slang for a raccoon.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It says, Trash Pandas are surprisingly good climbers. A Trash Panda going through your garbage. That's basically, I think there's a Trash Panda living in my apartment.
They're raccoons.
Complex.
It's essentially
dumpster.
A raccoon. It's a raccoon.
It's a raccoon, yeah.
Except for a southern raccoon.
Correct.
I don't know if you heard here, there's like zombie raccoons in New York.
Really?
Yeah. No joke. Like they walk. They walk on like two legs. Like they're standing up. They're walking around. And their eyes are all red. It's like, I'm not exaggerating. It's like zombie, like Walking Dead stuff.
So what do they got? Rabies? Or
yeah. Yeah.
Just, that's
yeah.
The way they got
yeah,
disease.
They have,
man.
Exactly. There's some weird disease. They're in Detroit. They're in New York here. I think I saw they were actually, there was a few in Toronto actually. You know, so basically it's, yeah, there's a disease going around the raccoon world right now, except they're like sort of, they're zombies. Like they're sort of dead, but they're walking and they're like hissing and it like scared the crap out of people here in New York. Like a bunch of look it up.
I know.
Zombie raccoons.
True story.
Zombie raccoons.
They're huge in Ohio. It says bizarre reports of zombie raccoons have Ohio City on edge. Terrifying raccoons, zombie raccoons, terrifying Ohio residents. Yeah. 200 zombie raccoons die in New York City.
Imagine stepping out to have a smoke on your back deck there, Cam, in Mississauga, and you have a couple of zombie raccoons attack you.
I'd have to change my pants, I could tell you that. They look pretty mean. No, you said it. Like, they're not like they got fangs and stuff. Like, you don't mess with these things.
No,
like, they bite you. You could die if you don't have your shots.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
you get bit by one of these dudes, you're in a lot of trouble, bro.
Yeah, here's a tip. Like, go see the doctor and get tetanus shots. I know you're supposed to get them every 10 years, but it kind of makes me want to go. These things look really rough. You said it.
Corey,
they stand up, too.
Corey, Corey's from Harlem, so he's not used to, like, wildlife and stuff. So,
wildlife.
Yeah, he gets freaked out. Like, there's raccoons and stuff. And once I told him that they were, you know, zombie raccoons, he's all freaked out. But I guess a raccoon sort of chased Corey down the street a bit. Like a raccoon sort of looked at him and started walking towards him. And, like, you know, Corey started sort of jogging and a raccoon sort of, like, lightly started coming at him.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing about these animals now. In the old days, they used to run from you. Now they want to pick fights with humans. They're not afraid. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're just like, the problem was, and this is how it evolved, Gabe. We used to give squirrels peanuts and all these little animals. Here you go, little buddy. You know, here, have some Lucky Charms or some nuts and whatever. And they were used to it now. Now the animals are, give me more. So they come out to you and they want a piece. Like, if you're not going to give them stuff, they're going to make you give it. Like, they pick fights with humans.
All right,
they follow you now.
Here it is. So
they used to run.
Ready for the Trash Panda season ticket info? Here it is. All right, so the Rocket City Trash Pandas have their grand opening Bridge Street Town Center store. So they've got a merchandise store they just opened this week. It's the same day that people can put deposits down for season tickets. Fans who make a deposit of $250 per seat will get a priority voucher to select the seats at the new ballpark. Oh, they're building a new stadium. The tickets require a 3-year commitment. Wow, they're even
smaller.
I'm looking at the prices right now. Like, Cam, I thought it would be like $250 for the year for the season tickets.
What are they, like $1,000?
The box seats are $952 for the year.
Wow.
$3,000 to sit behind home plate for the year. $1,750 for the stadium club. Wow. $4,284 for four tickets behind the first baseline.
They're reaching.
That's nuts.
Who has this money in
I know. Exactly. Great point. There's not a lot of money to go around. You're going to piss it away on minor league baseball? Come on.
Are they at least, what are they? They triple A team? Are they triple A at least?
Yeah, let's see. Take a look here.
Yeah, it's pretty damn expensive.
Sure is.
All right, Lou from Gamblu.com will join us next. Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio continues.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game Time Decisions.
All right, level two. Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Gabriel Moretzi. We haven't even gotten into the Kevin Durant stuff. We keep telling Yang to turn this stuff up. Either I'm getting deafer or he's not turning it up. So one or the other. Crank that, Yang. Come on, Grandpa. Remember, if it's too loud, you're too old. See, it's already better. There we go. He's going to regret telling us that he's going to regret Gramps? Telling us. Yeah, he's going to come. That's his new nickname, right? G, yeah, Gramps.
Yeah.
G. Yeah, Gramps. What up, Gramps?
Hey, Gabe, just a note, too, like we talk about the early starts, your Michigan Wolverines and Villanova in college hoops.
6:30?
It's the best game of the night. Yeah, I know, yeah, it's a 6:30 start tonight. Like, it's the best game on the board, just to give all the gamblers out there a heads up. 6:30 Michigan at 18, Michigan at Villanova. Villanova laying 7 right now, total $1.38. 6:30 tip.
As I stated, you know, Cam, normally we do a poll question, and we get like a ton of votes right out of the gate. I connected the GIF with the question. We have 2 votes. I'm telling you.
You proved your point.
I'm telling you. Yeah, I did.
You said that was going to happen.
I got a lot of comments back, but no votes, which I said it was going to happen. Like, man, like, unless everything is just, you know, it's one of those, like, you know, remember Richard Garter, 2 + 2 = 4.
Yes. I'm going to see Garner pretty soon, actually. I was wanting to go to the Seahawks-Packers game with him. We'll see if we can make that work. I haven't seen that guy in ages.
Let's bring in Lou right now.
Gamblu.
Gamblu.com. What's going on, Lou?
Not too much, guys, but, Cam going to the Packers and the Seahawks. That's pretty strong right there, my friend.
Oh, I'm not really going to the game, Lou. Just out with a buddy to the bar. I wish I could go to the game.
Cam's not going to the game, Lou.
I'm going to fly to Seattle tonight. See you, Gabe.
I was going to say that's a pretty good. It's a pretty good flight, but boy, it would be worth the flight to go to that game. You know,
I'd love
crazy
to go.
Things have happened in those games before.
I've only been to the Kingdom, Lou. I haven't been to the new stadium yet. I've been to the Kingdom a couple times, and then they blew it up. I was actually in Seattle when they blew it up. It was crazy.
You know, Lou, to be honest with you, before I came here to New York, my plan was I was actually going to move to Vancouver, and I was going to go to, like, Seahawk games in Seattle. I was going to go to Washington Husky college football games and go to Vegas and stuff. But, it would be a good time at a Seattle Seahawk game. It's a laid-back state, of course. They have all the they can handle all the recreational needs of people that are visiting the state. Seahawk games, always a good time. Warmer weather, not quite your Arizona weather, but Vancouver, beautiful city, and I know Seattle's very happening as well.
Yeah, we get a lot of Seattle and Vancouver people here. The Canadians are just buying us up fast as they can. And I've been to Seattle and was so impressed with it. And everybody there was talking about how impressed they were with Vancouver. So I think it's possible that my wife and I do a little Vancouver-Seattle-San Francisco excursion this spring, just to take a few days off, and we like the West, and that would be a fun little jaunt.
Yeah, Vancouver really is.
That'd be awesome.
Vancouver really is one of the nicest cities, probably the nicest city in North America. I'm not saying it's the best city. From a scenery perspective, it's pretty tough to top, from the mountains to the ocean to the weather to the architecture to the city itself. It's a world class city, Vancouver. Speaking of which, we'll get into the games here. But speaking of which, I was somewhat surprised to see the city of Calgary actually rejected the Olympics earlier in the day, guys.
Sometimes, Gabe, you know though the Olympics. Sometimes you got to put a lot of money into it. Remember, back when they had the Winter Olympics and stuff, man, like they dropped some serious funds, and not all the time you get the money back.
You know what it is? That,
you'd be concerned.
You know, listen, the Olympics have been in Canada. The last two times they were in Canada was 1976. So it was three times. 76 in Canada. What was it, 88 in Calgary?
I think it was 84, or was it 88?
Yeah, it was 88 in Calgary. And then Vancouver, whatever it was, 2002 Vancouver. And
yep.
You look like Montreal, it was the most expensive Olympics ever. And it still is. They're still paying. But there was a lot of different reasons for that. But it did help put Montreal on the map. Like, it really did. Like, Montreal at the time, they had Expo 67. They got the baseball team in 69. They got the Olympics in 76. The Canadians were winning the cup all the time. Like, you know, Montreal was, like, the most happening city in Canada. And, you know, they were trying to become a world-class city. The mayor had a goal, had a dream, etc. Vancouver, it did really, really change Vancouver, guys. Vancouver was always a nice, beautiful city, but really, it was sort of underdeveloped. There were sort of just a lot of heroin addicts and junkies on the street. It was kind of dirty.
Hastings was rough.
Yeah, it wasn't this, like, financial hotbed where, like, you know, Asian money's coming in and condos. And the Olympics, people, sort of the world, actually said, oh, my God, look at this beautiful city and how great it is here. And it really helped the self-esteem of Vancouver. My mother was a volunteer at the Games, and like, you go to Vancouver now, nobody says, oh, I wish the Olympics never came here. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's like, oh, it was a great time, and, yeah, it was, you know, the world was here, and it was great. They could get something out of it. Like, Vancouver had something to sell, which was the city. Calgary really doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, you go to Calgary, no one's going to go to the Olympics in Calgary and go, you know what, I'm going to buy a condo here now. It's cold as hell. It's a small town. Like, it's not the same. It's like, they don't have anything to sell. And like you said, too, the Olympics are too freaking expensive. You're going to see the only countries, that's why the Olympics are in China every couple of years now and in Korea all the time. They're the only ones that'll throw the money at it. You know, like even like Norway that loves winter sports, they tried to pawn the Winter Olympics on them. And they were like, no way. We're not paying $5 billion. Like, you know,
Norwegians are smart.
Yeah, and it's all because of the security. No. It's all the security. You got all this security and that security, and it's like, it's not worth it. Right? For what? So, you know, our country becomes a police state for a month, and we're left with all this debt. You look at Brazil right now already. The Olympic stadiums are empty. They actually built a stadium there, and they smashed it, like, after the games and stuff. Like, it really is reckless. But speaking of reckless, Lou, you and I had a heated discussion about Le'Veon Bell probably about, I don't know, 12 weeks ago. Or not 12
great,
weeks.
Great.
No, let's say 8 weeks ago.
Great segment. Yeah. Great segment.
And here we are now. He went through with it, Lou. He went the distance. What's your take on Le'Veon Bell deciding to forego the year and say, you know what, I'm not playing for you guys. Keep your $14 million.
Well, I think it was a reflection of two-way feelings. After, again, part of what we talked about back then was how sacred the locker room was. And obviously that relationship, however it happened between them, the team, and him, the individual, was fractured and couldn't get back. I wish Le'Veon Bell the absolute best because he's a super talented young running back. However, I tend to judge his business acumen as questionable. I don't think he'll ever get the money back that he lost, no matter what anybody tries to tell me about his future earnings. You can't just leave $14 or $26 million behind. And then you got to be careful what you wish for. I mean, if Houston picks him up with a porous offensive line, he could get battered into mediocrity. And yeah, then he's got a lot of money and he makes a lot of dough off a big contract. But, you know, hopefully the guy's still somewhere down in deep down inside. There's some football player left in him. That's what I would be worried about as a future teammate.
You know what I think he gets Lou back? And so I was just going to say, you know what he gets back out of this is he's, like you said, he's not going to, the NFL owners, they're all buddies, and they're not going to redo the structure for running backs for him. So he was turning down $14.5 million. He wanted, it wasn't even that much difference. Like, he wanted like $17 million a year. So it adds up, you know what I mean? So he wants in the $17 to $18 million a year range. There will be teams that will say, all right, we'll give him the $17, $18 mil. We'll give him a guarantee and whatever. We'll let him go after 3 years. So, like, it'll be all about the bonus that he gets, the guaranteed money. But you're right. He's not getting an extra $15 million back because he sat out a year, if he thinks. Like, he's not getting – no other team is going to say, you know what, we're going to give you an extra year because you just sat out right now. He's just – he's going to get the same money, yet he got hit one less year. Like, he did. So he didn't get hit 400 times right now. And if this is something that people aren't bringing up either from his perspective, is if he would have gotten injured, then – he wouldn't have gotten that great deal with somebody else. So I think he just figures, you know what, wherever I end up, I'm going to end up getting like $75, $80 million out of this. I'm going to get more than the Steelers would have given me. Yeah, I missed out on $14 million, but I also didn't get killed. I'm coming into this free agency thing 100% healthy, right? He can walk into a room with the Miami Dolphins ownership group. He can sit down with the Indianapolis Colts and tell them, I am 1,000% committed, and I am 1,000% healthy to play for your football team. And that'll be a selling point for him. But any way you cut it, I agree, Lou. He lost $15 million. Like, he's not getting it back. It just is what it is.
And you know what? Again, it's easy for me, a guy that's been in commercial real estate for, you know, 25 years, dealing with wealthy people and how they spend their money, and it's easy for me from this perspective to judge a 26-year-old running back. Now, I do remember when I was a 26-year-old athlete, first of all, I would have never been able to handle my money as well as any of these young kids, but I do remember the young pride that comes with being a young 26, 27, 28-year-old male at the top of your game, an NFL running back with money, and few people are going to be able to consult you. I worry about a guy just like a fighter that starts to manuscript what his next few fights are because he's got three or four fights ahead of the line. I don't think that's a good strategy for a fighter.
I know, but one thing you said, Lou, one thing you just said, though, and it's a good point, you're right. Like, and it was funny because he said that. He tweeted out to people. Because people are like, you're stupid, you're not getting this, you're that. And, you know, he basically stated, you know, worry about your own lives. And I'm doing just fine. And don't worry about me. And he did it in that upside down tweet. And he basically stated, anyone who just figured out what I said, you just proved my point. He basically said, go back to your crappy jobs and, you know, let me worry about my business right now. I think that, you know, that was his attitude with that, because you're right, everyone's giving him advice, you know, the public is, you know, like the family, you can't take your money with you, Le'Veon, and no, you're a bad teammate and stuff. But you talked about it, Lou, and you just almost answered the question there, and it was surprising to me as well. I remember I told you last week what Marshall Faulk said on our network, that if Marshall Faulk said, I would report and I would pull my groin. James Harrison, longtime Pittsburgh Steeler. You know, a guy you think, you know, bleeds this stuff and, you know, the Steelers, he said the exact same thing. He said, if I was Le'Veon, I would have just showed up and gotten hurt. And so it's amazing that, you know, when you say, well, he's not getting good advice or whatnot, the fact of the matter is, a lot of big-time football people would have done the same thing he did, or even worse, and really screwed them over and showed up. So at least Le'Veon didn't do that, Lou.
Well, first of all, I am not. I agree that the young athlete gets to do what he wants with his own money, and I applaud him for that decision. That said, I think in time the decision's going to come back and not be a good one. I don't wish him ill or any of that. And the fact that other guys would have done the same thing doesn't mean that it's the right decision. And quite honestly, it's just going to take time to find out. If Le'Veon Bell goes to team X, Y, or Z and excels and has a five-year career, I'm tickled for the guy and it works out well. If he goes to team A, B, or C and it doesn't work out and he twings his ankle or he has hamstring issues or he gets the ball 30 times in the first game and he gets 26 yards and the team sucks and it's a long season, and then I'm going to say, you know what? You can't script it perfectly. Life is funny. And sometimes it's just more important to live up to your word. End of the day, he had a contract with Pittsburgh. He had a sacred oath to those guys in the locker room.
He did and he didn't.
And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
I understand he had a contract with him, but he also had within his rights not to report, right? As part of the collective bargaining agreement, it's part, you know what I mean? It's not like he found a loophole in the CBA. And basically, you know, you look at it from Le'Veon's perspective too. Lou, they weren't going to re-sign him, right? And as you stated,
I'm not finding fault with Le'Veon's decisions or any.
No, but I know. I'm just saying from his perspective, think, all right, I run the ball 420 times for you guys, and I know you're not going to pay me at the end of the year. You know, so why should I run the ball 400 times? I don't do it. I don't get hurt. Like, I understand all sides of this, actually. And, you know.
So if that's the case, so if you're listening to James Harris and them, what he should have done is come in the first
game. All right, we'll continue this on the other
side. Of the season.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decision continues. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
What's going on there, Moretti? I hear a lot of voices.
Yeah, I know. They start off, and it's usually calm when I start, but then...
Sounds like there's a lot of people in there, a party going on.
Yeah, it's not a party. It's not a party, but...
It's not a party.
it's a little loud.
Not a party.
Sounds like a party.
I like how you stress that. Yeah.
If you guys can keep it down a little bit here. You know what? They hear our topics, and then they start.
Oh, they get excited. Yeah. It's like family. Everyone chimes in. Yes.
Yeah, I know. But I'm sitting here. I'm about to do the show as a dude walks in. He's like, hey, how about the Giants on one? It's like, yeah, we're caught on the air right now. Yeah. All right, where were Lou?
That was a long time ago, too. Lou, living today, right?
LouGamblu.com. So, yeah, the New York Giants, nice call on Monday night, Lou. We hit this on the money line. On Monday with the Giants. It's funny now, I was hearing, and we're on the Fantasy Sports Network, so I heard today a bunch of fantasy guys talking about how Eli Manning looks like he's in a good spot against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Bucs are terrible, and the Bucs this and that. Yet, this is what the Giants do. Like, the Giants were in a must-win, good spot situation, coming out of a bye against the San Francisco Giants, who hadn't played since Thursday. There were a lot of, you know, situational spots where it was a good spot for the Giants and a good bet for the Giants. But It's funny. I think a lot of people are going to bet on the Giants. The Odell Beckham was talking about how they're going to run the table and they're going to win a division. And this was the turning point. And I don't think it was the turning point for the Giants. And, in fact, I think Eli will regress right back to being. Listen, he played like crap on Monday. They just won. He threw a couple of passes. He missed a million passes. Wide open, guys. Underthrown. And it's funny. They're better on the road. Listen, this is not one of the marquee games of the week, Lou. And I will throw it to Cam after he gets his take on this. But I think people that jump on the Giants this week because they're like, oh, they just beat San Francisco. Now they're back home. They could be fooling themselves. Be careful with that game, in my opinion.
I mean, I understand how you picked the game because you're sitting in the Big Apple, New York City, and you got to talk about this game. But it's the last game
Yeah, this game's a dumpster fire.
Want to discuss? I mean, it's just too.
Yeah, but you know what? Last week, people said the same thing about the Tampa Washington game. When I told people all week, Washington was going to win that game.
Correct.
The bad games, guys, are the easier ones to pick.
Oh, like, I like bad games.
Like tomorrow night, is that a great game to pick? It's a great game to watch. Is it a game
hard
to pick?
Hard picking. I agree with you. It's a very tough game. Go either way.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But as far as this one's concerned, I tend to agree with where you're going with it, Gabe. To me, it's Tampa or nothing. I mean, they're making it awful easy to take the Giants at home, and it is a short week for the Giants coming back. And, again, there were some calls. I don't yap about calls, and I didn't bet that game. But watching that game, there were some calls against San Francisco in that game that almost made me want to puke.
There's the word of the day, puke. All right, so... Yeah, no, late in the game, you're right. There were some gratuitous calls. One of them really was.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Gabe. I think Tampa Bay is in a great spot this week. And if you watch the Washington game, unfortunately, I watched a lot of that game, and it was just a red zone disaster. Tampa Bay marched it up and down the field on these guys. They had turnovers in the red zone. They had two missed kicks in that game. Everything that could have gone wrong. Take a look at the total yards in that game. They crushed it. They never were stopped. They stopped themselves inside the 20. I think it's going to be a different scenario. You're getting one or two points with the dog. I'm with you. Yar. Give me the Buccaneers.
Yeah, looking at the Bucs, like you said, hardly the marquee game of the week. So what about tomorrow night's game, Lou? You got the Packers and the Seahawks. The winner is still going to be in playoff contention. There's still spots available in the NFC. There's still a lot of racetrack left in the National Football League season. But you got to keep the losses down in the loss column. And Seattle can't really afford to lose many more games. You know, they don't have a lot of room for error. And Green Bay are sort of in this. Green Bay, their schedule gets a lot more favorable now. Their schedule was a real bitch over the last month or so. So now they have some more winnable games. We saw against Miami, but this is a tough one. The winner of this game is in the playoff mix. The loser is going to be in a lot of trouble. What do you make of this game, Lou?
Yeah, it's an interesting game from two teams that have really good history against one another of either shootouts, but in either case, whether it's a shootout or a defensive struggle, they tend to play tight, and there's something between these two teams. You just got to look in the history to see it. Overall, I regard Seattle as the more balanced team, and quite honestly, it's interesting because as well as Green Bay passes, that's where Seattle's strong on defense. Seattle's defensive, their area of improvement is against the run, and so I think you're going to see Green Bay run, and I think you're going to see Seattle run because Green Bay's run defense is absolutely sieve-like. So I think you got Green Bay coming in. I think we're looking at a very tight game, and quite honestly, Seattle at home looks to be in a really good spot, in my opinion. Green Bay had to go two tough games on the road, Chargers and Rams, they were two tough games on the road. Then they came home and got Miami and got the job done, and now they go for two more on the road. This is a tough place to start to play. I like Seattle here.
You look at the games too, Cam. You look at the teams that these teams have played, especially your Seahawks. It's been a tough grind for them, man. A couple of weeks ago, back, like they played the Rams twice and lost by less than a touchdown twice to one of the league's best teams.
They could have won those games.
They could have, you know, they were in the
game. Especially
games.
the
especially the first meeting, Gabe. The Rams needed that fourth down conversion, and they got it, and then eventually won. But Seattle battled with them, and they came back against the Chargers, too.
Yeah, the Charger game. The Charger game, exactly. The game ended with them, you know, them with an opportunity. So they've been in these games. You're right. Like, both these teams have had a tough go with the schedule. I got to lean with the home field. I'm a big Russell Wilson guy. I think we have the home field is a big advantage, in my opinion, here. And we should know the Packers have actually beaten them three straight times. So you got a triple revenge spot. And, you know, I think Carroll's a better coach than McCarthy. And I just think Green Bay is a little bit gassed right now. But as I stated, it's not my lock of the week or anything, Cam. But what are you doing with this game?
I'm taking Seattle in the game. I think Lou might be something. I know I usually you want to think over, but under. I do think Seattle's going to run the ball on them, and that's going to set up the pass. And let me tell you, Morenci, Green Bay's very lucky that they played Miami last week because their secondary's been ravaged too. We talk about losing Clinton Dix to the Redskins. They got rookies back there. I think Seattle and that offense will be able to exploit them. I think the Seahawks win this game by like 7 to 10 points. Yeah, I'm with Seattle. It's under a field goal right now.
What game catch your eye this week in the NFL, Lou?
Well, let's just take a little gander.
Old school.
Oh, Lou.
Gander.
Normally, I try and track division games and find a good division dog, especially at home. But in this case, I'm going to stick with the NFC, and I'm going to go to New Orleans. And I'm going to fade New Orleans in this spot. Now, I got to be honest. I faded them last week with Cincinnati and got completely blitzkrieged. But
so me, too, me too. Me too. Me too. We all
too many this is too many points for Philadelphia. The AFC, the NFC East is in disarray. It's anybody's division, even though Washington has the upper hand. Philly's still playing for a ton. New Orleans... I mean, it doesn't look like they can let down, but sometimes matchups mean something, and Philly is strong, offense and defensive line. And the way to try and attack New Orleans is through the air. Wentz is now 5-6 games into this thing, and Alshon Jeffrey's now 4 or 5 games back. Philly needs to throw the ball, but I definitely think Philadelphia plus, if you're looking, depending where you're in Vegas, it's 8, and offshore it's 9. Just hold on to your hats and let everybody, let those parlay playing pukes keep playing the Saints, and we'll take Philadelphia when it gets to 10.
I don't know, Lou. The thing is, I like to take points too in Morenci, but have you seen Philadelphia's secondary, Lou? Like, they got guys who are bagging groceries, Kurt Warner style playing back there. They have nobody. All their good guys are out. That's a tough recipe against the Saints, but I'm with you. Like, the line movement, it's probably going to be – I'd wait. I think it's probably going to be 10 or 10.5 by game time, Gabe, because the Saints' offense can't be stopped. They're a juggernaut.
Yeah, it's amazing the point spread discrepancy, isn't it? I'm always fascinated by this, and that's how I've been doing well this year in the NFL and in past years. But you look at the point spread differential. Last week, the Eagles were 7-point favorites. Now they're 9-point underdogs, a 16-point swing.
Yep, that's crazy.
Not only that, in this game a week ago, the look-ahead line was 6.5, and now you're given another 2.5 points just for the pleasure that everybody thinks Philadelphia has done and packed it in, and New Orleans can't be beat. This is the NFL, and if you're not listen, the public's had 3 really good weeks until last week. I would caution really slowly that the big, huge bomber teams that everybody thinks just going to roll over everybody, I would be cautious. I'd be cautious if I'm looking at New Orleans. I'd be really cautious if I'm looking at Carolina. I'd be very cautious if I looked at Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. And I'd be cautious if I'm jumping on the Rams just because now they're in L.A.
Lou from Gamblu.com with us. Cam, what game you want to throw at him?
Yeah, it's tough. Actually, we should talk about a game that's off the board and how we're going to attack it. It looks like, Gabe, I know Baltimore in their camp, it looks like Lamar Jackson actually might get a start. Just even in my fantasy leagues, they have projected totals, and he's a quarterback, the top-rated guy in the waiver wire, assuming like 13, 14 points. But Flacco's banged up. this game eventually is going to have a number. I was just going to get your guys' take if he comes in the game after watching Cincinnati last week and just the way their defenses have been carved up. You might get some line value, and maybe he's ready to go. We know he can run the ball. The question is, can he throw the ball? And I like the Ravens a hell of a lot more at home than on the road. What's your guys' take?
Lou?
Well, a week ago, we could have taken Baltimore with the understanding that it was Joe Flacco under center given 4.5. So now we know the benchmark for what Baltimore is handicapped by the professionals. And that's at the Westgate, okay? So they view Flacco 4.5. More interesting to me, it will be what the line is when it does come out. It's currently 5.5, and the Westgate does have it up. And they're as sharp as you get as far as Las Vegas is concerned. So they're actually saying that Jackson's a point better than Flacco in this spot, maybe because of the unknown, lack of film on him. To me, it's a Baltimore play or pass. I don't know how you take Cincinnati in this spot against a Baltimore team that's holding their cards very close to the vest. We don't know who's playing. I'll be more interested rather in making a position when I don't know who Baltimore's putting under center to see what happens to the line and what happens to the 5.5 currently when it's announced that either guy is going to go in there. Because if it is Jackson and Baltimore starts to grow, that's going to be unfortunate because it's going to force me to look at Cincinnati, and I really don't want to look at Cincinnati.
I'm going to pass on this one. I lost on a piece of the Bengals this week.
Pass. Yeah, I'm done with the Bengals.
A game that I won't be passing on, though. And listen, I was on the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night, and I didn't have the Atlanta Falcons last week. But we talk about how people abandon ship. You know, the Falcons were terrible, and then suddenly the Falcons were invincible. I remember last week after on Monday, people were genuinely, like, surprised the Falcons lost. Like, I can't believe the Falcons lost.